We now bring to these microphones David James. We make contact with David. He is in Hungary this week, as he was last week. And David, I do believe that this is the last of your sojourns someplace in this world to teach at a Bible Institute. Is that correct?
That's right. Just finished up 2 weeks teaching in Hungary and just finished up a course on signs, wonders, and the charismatic movement, as well as a course on current theological issues. And then, of course, last week was Roman Catholicism. And this is the sixth Word of Life Bible Institute I've taught in since February. So this has been a long haul, and I've got some time home coming up this summer.
Well, that's great, but it is a joy, is it not? And what an expansion of your ministry to teach these young people.
It really is. And, you know, it's even more exciting this year in Hungary because there's a young lady from our home church who came to study this year, and she was just telling me today that she's planning on coming back here next year as well for the second year.
Well, that's great news. David, let's think about our discussion, the topic we're going to look at this week. We've never dealt with it before, and that is modern-day witchcraft, known as Wicca. A couple of weeks ago, an article came out of Austin, Texas, concerning the growth of Wicca as a movement there in Austin and beyond that location.
Well, that's right. And the article actually discusses several people from different walks of life and how they have come to embrace what is called a neo-paganism, the modern witchcraft of Wiccanism. And interestingly, at the end of the article, one of the ladies who had turned to Wicca and embraced it as her faith, she said, "It's funny because I've got people who are devoted Catholics coming to me and saying, 'I've got a problem. Can you do a spell for me?'" Very strange.
Yes, very, very strange. Well, it would probably be helpful for our listeners if you would take just a moment, David, and give us some background concerning Wicca. What is it, how it developed, and so on?
Well, it's considered a neo-pagan religion. In other words, a revival of ancient paganism, particularly the paganism of medieval Europe, which is certainly an outgrowth of even the paganism that we see in the Bible. The word Wicca in modern English, they believe it comes from the Old English term that's pronounced Wicca, which was a reference to a male witch, or sometimes referred to as a warlock or a sorcerer, and Wicca would have been the female witch, but it's come into the modern English to be pronounced Wicca. And they are generally pantheists in some respects, and that is believing, like Hinduism, that there is one reality, and there's just one reality that everybody and everything is a part of. And on the other hand, many of them hold to what is called duotheism, and they hold to the worship of a god and a goddess, a male and a female gods, and they have rituals. They believe in casting spells. There are different kinds of witches. There are those who engage in white magic, black magic, but essentially it's the worship of nature, and it's a paganism that very similar to what we see in the Bible.
Well, let's talk about how many people may well be practicing Wicca here in the United States. What is the term that is used to consider, I guess it would be similar to a church in Christianity, but there are groups that come together, covens?
Yeah, they're called covens, and so witches come together in covens, and they're generally overseen by a high priest and a high priestess. There was a 2001 survey that came out that was done by the City University of New York. So this was in 2001, and they stated that Wicca is the fastest growing religion in the United States, believe that or not. And they had about 8,000 adherents in 1990, but that had jumped to 134,000 adherents just over 10 years later. One thing that makes it a little bit difficult to determine the numbers is that a lot of people hide their participation in Wicca from their employers and even from relatives, so it's really difficult to get an exact number of what the situation is.
Well, David, there obviously are many problems with Wicca from a biblical perspective, since it is a form, as you said, of neo-paganism. What are some of the beliefs within Wicca that run counter to the Word of God?
Well, first of all, even the fundamental idea of pantheism, that there is simply one reality and that God is the universe and the universe is God, we recognize that God is the creator and he is separate from the universe. Many of them would also hold to lesser deities. Some would hold to sort of a nature religion, that there would be gods and goddesses within nature, even like animistic religions where they would believe that rocks and trees and rivers and mountains also would have deities. Also the idea of tapping into some kind of force in nature to practice witchcraft and incantations and spells is something that definitely runs counter to the word of God, and turning to anything apart from God as being the object of worship.
You know, the Bible deals with the matter of witchcraft in some very strong terms. Are there practices within Wicca that match some of the things that the Bible condemns?
Well, there definitely are. You know, as we know from 1 Samuel, that Saul, King Saul, went to a necromancer or someone who would conjure up the dead at the town of Endor to call up someone from the dead, and he lost his right to be king as a result of that sin. And another place where he failed to obey God's word, Samuel confronted him and said that disobedience or rebellion is as of the sin of witchcraft. The Bible also condemns trying to call up the dead, trying to contact the dead, trying to see the future, which is another thing that they try to do. And also this is all tied, going back to the beliefs, you know, in Romans chapter 1, where you have what I call the death spiral of humanity. One of the things that Paul mentions is that the people and mankind, as he dives deeper into sin, he begins to worship the creation rather than the creator, and that would certainly be an inherent part of the beliefs and practices within Wicca.
Now, earlier in this conversation, you used the term white magic and black magic. What is the difference between the two, and how does this fit modern-day witchcraft?
Well, those in Wicca like to view themselves as primarily being involved with white magic, which is the good magic, or that which doesn't bring any harm. And in fact, that's one of the sayings within Wicca, that if it doesn't bring harm, then you can do what you wish. Also, white magic they see as a matter of protection, just protecting yourself and others, whereas black magic, they tend to be involved with the occult, even calling upon demonic forces. Those who are involved with Satanism would be more along that line. But the problem is that magic is magic, and the Bible doesn't make a distinction between any of this, and witchcraft is condemned in whatever form that it takes.
This leads us, I guess, to then another article that just came out a couple of days ago concerning Satanists in Los Angeles, California. They're making plans to celebrate June 6th because that date, 6/6/16, is just a very interesting date, 666. Is this also a growing problem here in the United States?
It actually is. It's been estimated that maybe there are 100,000 Satanists around the world. And Satanism actually has a couple of different forms. There are some who are, believe it or not, they're called atheistic Satanists. They don't believe that Satan is a real person, and the most important holiday of the year within that form of Satanism is somebody's own birthday, because they see self as being God. Then there are theistic Satanists who actually do believe that there is a Satan, but they see him as Lucifer, the Roman god of light. And we know that in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul makes it very clear that Satan himself sometimes appears as an angel of light, but certainly his purpose is to deceive. And so all of these forms of, even the Wicca is actually a form of Satanism, because they're turning from the God of the Bible to the God of this world and the prince of the powers of the air.
Interestingly, we get the number 666 from Revelation chapter 13 and verse 18, but we have no idea actually what that means. It does not define it. It says that the 6 represents man, but we don't know that so-called Antichrist is going to have everybody take a mark on their forehead or the back of the hand, 666. So that's interesting development. the Satanists wanting to get into that. And David, I want to talk about the end times as it relates to this issue, but sometimes we see young people want to flirt with some of these crazy events that are happening, like going to this conference there in Los Angeles. They had better stay away from something like this, had they not?
Well, they absolutely should stay away from it. And, you know, the United States and the world population, but especially America, have really become obsessed with the occult. When you look at all the movies, the television shows that are deal with vampirism and witchcraft and zombies and the undead and demonic possession, even a show named Lucifer. Yes, and in the music as well. They are being attracted to this, and they are flirting with very dangerous things.
Well, once again, this points to the spiritual deception that is coming during the tribulation period, when most people will believe that things of Satan's origin are from God. Is that not correct?
Well, that's true, and Satan will deceive by even doing signs and wonders and miracles. We read that in 2 Thessalonians 2. You know, Jesus did signs and wonders to convince people that he was God, and Satan is going to have deceiving signs and wonders and draw people to himself to convince people that he is God, and we know that in the middle of the tribulation period, he's going to go into the temple and declare himself to be God, and the false prophet are going to cause the world to come to worship him.
Well, that's going to be a terrible time, the tribulation period. Those of us who know Christ as Lord and Savior leave before that 7-year period of time at the rapture of the church. But especially people today, especially young people, we better put up a stop sign. Don't go near any of this. Would that be your recommendation?
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, we're to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy. We're to think on things that are pure, lovely, and right. And when we move toward the darkness, when we move toward the occult, which means hidden, and we move to the hidden things, we move to the mystical, we move away from the supernatural truth of God's revealed word and the relationship that is to be found only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. So we have to run from the things of darkness.
Absolutely. Great warning from our discussion together with David James today. David, thank you so very much. It's an issue that we have not touched on. I'm glad we did spend a few moments on it. We hope not to have to do it again. People, be alert to the warning. Thank you, David. We'll talk again next week. Have Journey's Mercies coming home.
Thanks, Jimmy.